First of all, Christoph, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So first of all, thank you very much for coming. I know we had a long conference. This is one of the last sessions, and I'm very happy that you joined us. And by us, I would like to introduce Adam Hyde, who agreed to join me. That was not part of the initial program, but I'm very happy that you're here. And so what I will do is to show you what we've done in the best practice in public outreach documentation project. I'll talk a little bit about how we organize our work, because I introduced someone new and a new position, a new role for the Wikimedia Foundation. And then Adam, who is the founder of the FLOSS nonprofit organization, the FLOSS Foundation, will talk at about 10 minutes about how to write a documentation with a bigger team in a small amount of time. I think that's very exciting, that's very interesting, and I'm very happy that you joined me. So first of all, that's our current situation. I don't know if this is the most up-to-date map of our chapters organizations, but I think we've now about 22, who knows better than I? Okay, so more than 20. We've more than 20 chapters, and these are the blue chapters, and as you can see, there are some chapters in discussion, some planned chapters, and there will be more. So all these chapters do a lot of work. They do press relations, they do public outreach, and what we saw from our position at the Wikimedia Foundation was that some chapters did work that was very closely related to some other chapters' work. And that was one of the reasons for us to think about ways how to prevent volunteers around the planet to reinvent the wheel every time. So if you have some experiences in how to be a good spokesperson for Wikimedia, how to give a presentation, how to organize a workshop, whatever you do, it's worth documenting your knowledge and sharing it with others. At the same time, I know it's more fun to organize a workshop than afterwards going to the MetaWiki and documenting it. But however, I think that this work is pretty important, and we have a member of the German community here who kind of gave me the initial idea of starting this project. So, best practice documentation. There is a meta page we started, and this is how it looks. So it gives you a short introduction. What do we want to achieve? And then an overview of the existing projects. What you see here, so you find it under best practice in public outreach. And it's if you are on the public outreach pages on Meta, there is a navigation bar, and it's under resources for evangelists. So On the bottom of the page, you'll find a short overview about what we started to do. Not everything is finished. We finished some pages. So the finished pages are those below in that navigational bar. This is one of the pages. We're still thinking about criteria for good best practice documentation pages. So one thing you can do is to join our discussion and to say, okay, there are some criteria for good best practice documentation pages, and I'll join the team and I give some feedback. So the first part of every page so far is a short documentation. We really try to keep it short. It shouldn't be like in this case, tell people how you have benefited from contributing to Wikipedia. There are some reasons you could mention during your presentation. So this is part of the series Best Practice in Giving a Wikipedia Presentation. There are some reasons like sharing knowledge makes you happy, you expand your knowledge while editing, and so forth. So this page is intended to be a point you want to give a speech about Wikipedia. You just have a short look at this, and you get some reminders about what you can talk about. And on the bottom of each page, there is a feedback section, and that is one of the things I invite you to do. The more feedback the team gets, the more feedback the person gets who wrote this page, the better we can improve all these pages. Organization, project organization. Documenting best practices in public outreach is part of my job. So some of the pages are pages that I started. But I quickly realized that doing this job of documenting everything is nothing that scales. So I'm only one person. And I think we have so many people who have some good experience in doing public outreach, in organizing, for example, Wikipedia academies, in organizing workshops. Perhaps we should have at some day a page called Best Practice in Organizing a Wikimania. That could also be part of this project on Meta. So I thought about what are good ways to involve more people and to organize a work. So what we did is we created a new role. And this is, as far as I know, it's something new. And I don't know if other Wikimedia organizations like the chapters did that before. Because I recruited someone as a volunteer who never edited Wikipedia before. But she's really good in doing project management. And it was quite scary for me because I thought, I mean, I'm a participant in Wikipedia since 2005. And I also thought, like someone said during Jennifer's talk yesterday, I think it was yesterday, they will never accept someone who has not, I don't know, 5,000 or more edits. But what happened was that no one asked. No one asked. Everyone is happy that she's there. Everyone is happy that she manages the project. She invites people to Skype conferences, to IRC chats, and she's doing a pretty good job. And the role we created is that of a volunteer project lead. And I would like to introduce that role to you, and because this was kind of a pilot project, and I will announce it later on the different mailing list because I intend to add two more roles like that within the next month. Because everything we know so far is this is quite well working. It's very good. So what are the tasks for a volunteer project lead? First of all, recruit a team. So Katrin Janssen, who is German, living in the San Francisco Bay Area, she didn't know so many Wikipedians. So that was part of my job. I helped her to create that team. Then second, as I said before, managing that team, documenting the work of the team. We have on one of our pages on Meta, we have a section called Milestones. So we document milestones of the project. And work in a focused topic area. So we agreed on some priorities for our work. I'll tell you more about that later. And then report and communicate teamwork. So far, Katrin tells me every week what she did, but that's not what she's supposed to do. Within the next weeks, she will start to report on several mailing lists and tell people more about what's going on. I think that's very important that everyone feels invited to join that team and to know more about what work has been done so far. And then all these volunteer roles are roles for someone who wants to volunteer for the Wikimedia Foundation for perhaps a limited amount of time. So what we agreed in this case upon was that she volunteers at least for 4 months. Last week, I found someone who agreed to work for 9 months, to volunteer for 9 months for the Wikimedia Foundation, in a different part of project. Current priorities, I already mentioned it. So we defined two current priorities. The first one is building partnerships with cultural institutions. That has been a topic of great interest for most chapters. And many people ask, so how do we do that? And what is the best way to do that? And I asked Liam from Australia. The first page has been created by Matthias Schindler from Germany. So everybody involved in these kinds of projects, please join the team and tell others about your experience. It might even be that you tell others about what went wrong. That's also a very important thing to know. And then the second priority we defined is assigning Wikipedia articles as coursework to students. The German community had some very good experiences in 2008 with a project called ViviWiki, from improving articles in the field of economics. And they assigned, or a professor assigned, the job of writing new Wikipedia articles or improving old ones to his students. And that worked out quite well. They improved within a half a year, they improved more than 206 articles. And 26 of these 206 articles have been assigned the status of good articles by the community. So this is something we want to know. How did he do that? Because right now in 2009, he has three projects that volunteer of the German community who did that job. He has now three projects running, improving certain topic areas. And that's a general point we're interested in, how to improve systematically a certain topic area with the help of students. I think that could be very, very powerful. So these are some of the areas we started. As you can see, a large part of it is red. There is still some work for me personally to do, but there are certainly for you or for those who watch the video later on, are certainly areas you could get involved in. There are so many Wikipedians here at this conference who already gave a presentation and who could share their experiences with others. And then how do you get involved? So there is a best practice documentation team. The team page looks like this. There are already some team members, some of them you know. like the president of the Swedish chapter, Lennart Gulbrandson, like John Broughton, who wrote the first Wikipedia book, and like Phoebe. Yes, so how do you get involved? There is a mailing list. There are 2 weekly meetings so far, because the team is still small. They have 2 weekly Skype meetings. And as you can see, there is already a long list of milestones. And I really, really hope that some others will join this, because I personally think that this is very important for everyone doing public outreach. If he is a chapter's member or if he is an unaffiliated volunteer, I think this is a very good way to share knowledge on the meta level with others. So, thank you. And just to give you a better idea of why I invited Adam. So my dream is, he's an expert in writing books with a small team of people in one day, and I'm still excited about that idea, and I'm interested in why does that work? What's the secret behind that? Because if we get all chapters people together who have some experiences in doing public outreach, perhaps we can have a meeting, and perhaps we can write this all these best practice documentation pages in one day. That's one of my dreams. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, my name, I'll keep this short. My name is Adam Hyde. I'm from Floss Manuals, not-for-profit foundation based in the Netherlands. We have written documentation in one day, short documentation. We've done a lot of experiments with a process called book sprints, and we've experimented with a lot of different forms of this model. But traditionally, what we do is we get a group of people together, 5 to 6 people, and we write a book in 5 days. So if you look at these, I'll pass these around so that you can have a look at them. I'll pass one this side and one the other side. If you look at these books, these are very comprehensive, well-written books. If you hold these up against any other technical documentation, I promise you they're of equal quality. And this is written by a team of people who have had no authorship experience before necessarily, who may or may not be experts on the subject. Usually there's a mixture of some experts and some non-experts. And then we essentially lock them in a room for 5 days, and they write a book. And you might think this is not possible. And this, you might think, the zero to book in 5 days is really a complete lie. And actually fantasy, because the general publishing timeline is 6 to 9 months minimum. Usually 6 to 12 months is about average for production of a manual. And indeed, I am lying, because we produced this particular book in 2 days. So I'll pass this one around as well. This one was written by a team of 20 volunteers, all working remotely online. And this Mako, who's well-known within the Wikipedia community, cited this as the best introductory text to the command line available. So it's got pretty good endorsements. So the book sprint, I'll just very quickly introduce you to the methodology. It's a social methodology. It's a process of bringing people together in one room and getting them excited. Sorry about the strange aspect ratio. I won't worry about changing it. Bringing people together in one room to write a book together. So it's writing is a process of discussion. This is a noisy environment. This is not your traditional publishing environment where you put somebody in a room, you lock the door, you come back 6 months later and you ask them why they missed the deadline. This is really a noisy environment. People are talking with each other. And in 5 days, we generate the content from zero. So this is completely original content. There may or may not be an outline. In fact, it's better if there is not an outline when you start the process, and you create the outline together. It's because the people in this room are the people that have to write the content. And if you pre-plan it too much by another organization or another group of people, Then these people may or may not be able to deliver that content. So it's better to allow them to design the content of the book they're about to write. So the rest of the, I'll show you a few. We did, Inkscape was the first one. Brianna was there and did a manual about Wikimedia Commons. We also did OLPC. We do all the inverted commas official documentation for both Inkscape and OLPC. We did a book, which you see here, called How to Bypass Internet Censorship Using Free Software, which is also available, interestingly, in Farsi as well as other languages. This was written in 5 days, where we took people to a small house in the country, locked the door. I did all the cooking for them, my job is facilitating these things. So it's not enough just to have someone in the five people in the room, but you have to have somebody who is stupid enough to believe this is possible and convince the other people that it's also possible. And that's my job within FOSS manuals. So this is a circumvention book sprint, six people sitting around a table, talking, chatting, having fun. Now, it could be that you would think, when I first started these, I thought, how am I going to motivate people to do this? And actually what I found is if you get people in a room who have a similar passion about one particular subject, you can't stop them from working. They will just keep working. And so, for example, the circumvention book sprint, we worked, I think, 9 to 11 every day for 5 days flat. And 6 o'clock on the last day on the Friday, we had a beer. We have an engine to generate book-ready PDF, book-formatted PDF with indexes and all the credits and everything. Exactly what you see here in the book form is what is produced out of our PDF engine, and it takes about 2 or 3 minutes to generate that. We upload it to a print-on-demand service, and then you have a book. And this is part of the motivation. This is why it's called a book sprint. The book itself is not actually that important as an end result. The most important thing is to have the content, which is free content, available to anybody that wants it, but the book is an extremely good motivator. So if you say to someone, you're going to write a book, then they get excited. What we're also recently doing, FOSS Manuals has its own book binder, and we now, since we did one 2 weeks ago, we give every participant of a book sprint their very own copy of the book. So actually, in 5 days, they actually walk out the building holding their own handmade edition, and they are the only ones that have this. I'll pass this around as well. So it's all about motivation, it's all about facilitation, and it's all about really believing this is possible. And there's a lot, that's actually the psychology is the most important part of it. So when I'm talking to people, my job is to make them feel comfortable about the fact that this is actually possible. And there is a lot of dissonance sometimes. There will be people that in the room that may think that this is ridiculous. They can't trust me because they've never been in this process before. They inherently think are skeptical. And my job is just to chill them out and take them through the process. And this is really critical. You have to make people relax. They have to have fun. And you just have to be confident. You know, you can't really sit down and say, okay, tell me seriously, what are your concerns? You just have to make this an environment that they enjoy, get them to relax, and start writing. And getting them to start writing is also incredibly important. Because what you want to do is you want to design the outline for the manual or for the documentation, and then you don't hit this in a linear fashion. You design the table of contents, and the first moment you start writing, you say, okay, what is it you want to write about? And just allow people to choose the material that they want to focus on so they can just get started. And this is really important. It doesn't matter if they are writing the most important stuff, just get them comfortable in that environment. So these are a whole lot of things that we've developed. We also did Flossify. We converted a textbook, which was a design textbook using teaching design. It's used in American universities. We converted it to completely free software. It was a Creative Commons licensed book. So we replaced all the examples from Adobe to free software examples. Took 3 days. We output to books. We have digital outputs, etc. And I just want to show you, there is a manual on the everything that FOSS Manuals does is open. We're developing a platform for collaboration of authoring content, which is free software available to anyone. As yet, it's not available. It's nowhere near ready for showing anybody. But we do document the process as much as possible. So I've been the leader of all of the book sprints so far, and after every book sprint, I write down what I've learned. And so this is available on FOSS Manuals, flossmanuals.net/booksprints. And I go through here, a couple of case studies of book sprints that we want, that we've done. And also Adam's tips is, you know, this a lot of this is conjecture because I'm not a psychologist, sociologist or anything. And so when I go through this process, I'm pondering all the time why this may or may not work. And as I do that, I document it. And so this is my folklore of the book sprint. And simultaneously, I invite people, if possible, contributors to write about their experience as well. So as much as possible to expose the process with the hope that other people would actually learn from this and be able to conduct their own book sprints. So this is a totally open process. I would be very happy if you tried it. I'm always open to helping people with suggestions via email. Also, I have a job as a facilitator. I pay my rent by facilitating these things. But if you want to talk about the technical processes or anything like this, I'm always very happy to talk about this. Cool. Thank you.
So before you ask questions, just a short question from my side. How many of you would be interested in trying to document best practices in public outreach or in whatever it is if we asked Adam to facilitate that? Is there someone? Yeah? Okay, so there are some people who are interested. Great, thank you very much. Okay, so any questions?
Within FLOSS manuals, you mean, or you mean in their own projects?
Well,
OLPC, you know, famously had documentation, but it didn't really work. I mean, the first rollout of OLPC, I believe they were selling the computers for $185, and the support costs were $180 per computer. And they really had no infrastructure for support, including no good documentation. So what we were trying to do is help them by making comprehensive documentation. And what's a really fascinating part of this process is that with the OLPC, it's particularly interesting because I think it says a photo of it here. You can see there's a group of people sitting around writing, and this person right here is Walter Bender, who's ex-director of MIT Media Lab and the founder of Sugar, which is the operating system for OLPC. So the point being is that, you know, you have these people gathered together and you can ask questions directly to the source. And then as a team, you make this cohesive, a cohesive whole. You know? And it's very important to have this dialogue going and have some experts in the room. But our job specifically is sometimes we take existing documentation in some of these projects and we put them together. But often what I find is that we throw most of this out because it's either not good enough or it's out of date or it's contextually not specific enough to the kind of document that we want to create. So we always encourage, you know, projects to document whatever they want as much as they can. But this particular process, we really try and make a streamlined document, and often we can't reuse a lot of the materials. That's just the state of affairs with, this is why we started the project, because the state of free documentation is so terrible. Does that answer your question? Is that direct enough? Yeah.
Where can we get the books?
You can buy the books online from flossmanuals.net. You buy them directly from Lulu. You can buy this book, was republished by the Free Software Foundation. You can buy that from the Free Software Foundation. To Europe, Lulu.com have actually printing presses in Spain, I think, in the States. But interestingly, FLOSS Manuals now has a PDF generator which will output multi-column full newsprint scale output. So what we're actually hoping to do is do less books and actually print free press manuals and give them away because the price is so much lower. Yeah. Yeah. You can see on the back there's all the credits. Everybody is credited that participates.
Anything
Yes, we have a Farsi website, we have a Finnish community, we have a Dutch website, French and Spanish on its way, and also we have manuals being translated on a one-off basis to 20-25 languages. Yeah.